chapter 2, and I appreciate Brother Cole for bringing me over, and I appreciate you standing tonight for the Word of God. I want to read two verses, and the first part of verse 3, and I hope tonight that maybe God will do something special for us. We certainly need it, don't we? The Bible said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Now help us as we brag on you. In Christ's name we ask it, and amen. Our subject tonight is going to be on how shall we escape. Pat Buchanan said that in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their heroes defiled, their culture polluted, their country invaded, their values assaulted, and themselves demonized as extremists and bigots for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. I want to share with you tonight, if we might, some examples of folks that were not able to escape. I remember reading about, in the 1920s, down in Mammoth Cave, a man by the name of Floyd Collins was in there spelunking, I think that's the terminology, got caught in that cave and was not able to get out. His mother put up a memorial to in memory of her son. I was thinking about General MacArthur, how that there in the Pacific Islands, that President Roosevelt felt like that General MacArthur was so important to the strategy of the war that he ordered him out of the Philippines, and there MacArthur and his wife and son were taken out by a small craft in the dead of night. They were out at sea a long time, but MacArthur was able to get away. But for General Wainwright, he was left to face Corregidor and the Bataan death march. For him, there was no escape. I think about a wealthy couple that I heard that had an elevator in their home. Evidently, they were affluent. They didn't take their cell phone, but somehow the elevator didn't function correctly. They were found sometime later. For them, there was no escape. I remember hearing and reading about how that our 40th president, the man who had told Gorbachev, tear down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev, by 1994, he was addressing the nation and telling folks, Brother Tim, that I'm facing the sunset of my years. I'll be facing a difficult situation. I'll be facing a physical calamity from which I may not escape. And our good president, that was such a great communicator, able to speak eloquently, when Secretary of the Treasury George Shultz came to see him, he asked Nancy, he said, who is that man? He was reduced to more or less just sitting in his pajamas, and he'd watch the kids at play and maybe get up in the night and they'd show him little videos. But his mind had left him. For him, there was no escape. I think of different situations, how that the other day we were hearing about and reading about, and Brother Trimble told us about Todd Beamer there, how that being on that flight 93, he had told his family on Monday night, September the 10th, 2001, that I'll stay over and I'll catch that early flight to San Francisco. But he realized shortly after the hour of 9 o'clock that he was on a flight from which he would not escape. He called a lady by the name of Lisa Jefferson and said, would you recite the 23rd Psalm with me? He'd already talked with his wife, whose name was also Lisa. And he said, we'll not make it. But his last words were, let's roll. He wanted to do something. But for him and those on board, there was no escape. I remember reading about the youngest governor that West Virginia ever had. He was 35 years of age. A man that looked like a political career was in his horizon. But he got around the influences of too much drinking. And from that, he would not escape. He was reduced to driving a cab in the city of Chicago. And that became the final situation that he had. I remember my mother's people were miners down in southern Kentucky. But you remember there in the mine situation, I believe it was around 2003 perhaps, that there in the Sabo Mines, 13 miners there, only one survived. But they left messages, Brother Bowman, telling their loved ones that we'll meet you again in a better land. But for those people, there was no escape. I'm here to remind us tonight, there are certain things from which we cannot escape. First of all, we cannot escape the limits of time. It's appointed unto every one of us to die and to meet our Maker somewhere. You can choose to go to heaven. You can neglect that choice and go to the place that was not prepared for you. But there's one essential truth. You cannot remain here. See, you cannot escape the choices that you make. Choosing not to choose is still choosing. You can't escape the choices of your friend making. The Bible said, in David's son there, but he had a friend. The friend proved to be very false and very misleading. And I want to give you some things tonight from which we cannot escape. First of all, we cannot escape this cultural revolution that is imposed upon us. May I remind you of certain things? I'm at the age now where I'm getting a little different perspective. We were poor people. I told them today over there with Brother Ronalds that Brother Billy Kelly used to tell folks that they were so poor that when his mother would fix those big cat head biscuits, they'd go out and hold them out in the yard so the aroma of the neighbor's ham could flow through it. He said every year at Christmas, Dad would go out and fire the shotgun, Mr. Renee, and he'd come in and tell all the kids that Santa Claus had committed suicide. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm seeing a cultural change. You see, my mother didn't know the King's English. She didn't know about parts of speech. She didn't know about subject-verb agreement. She didn't know about paragraph construction. She didn't know about dangling participles. She didn't know about split infinitives. And I'm sure we all do. But she said one day she met the King of Kings and it changed her life. I'm here to tell you there's been a change going on in America. See, our old folks, they didn't claim to have all the degrees that we have. We can have enough degrees to look like a thermometer. But that doesn't mean that we really attain unless what we've learned changes our attitude and our behavior. We haven't learned anything. Now, I'm afraid we're in a cultural change. We've come from a day and time. I told them again, I want to use this tonight. We've come from a day and time when Coke was something that I drank. Grass was something that I mowed. Age were the people that worked in the principal's office. And coming out of the closet meant we've been playing hide-and-go-seek. But we're in a cultural change today. The culture represents the arts, the literature, the music. We've gone with an impact that's affected our families more than any of us could have ever anticipated. Oh, let me tell you something here. I'm here to tell you tonight, there are certain things that we cannot and we must not escape from. Oh, see, first of all, you cannot escape the choice making that you're either going to be for the Lord Jesus Christ or you're already against Him. You've already taken sides. If you were in a court of law, if you were there in the judiciary, and the judgment and the verdict has already come in, the evidence has been against you, you're either recognizing Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or you're saying, away with Him, I have nothing to do with this man. Oh, let me tell you something here today. We've come to a day and time in our culture where we've rewritten our history. We've denied the founding fathers. We've denied their influence. We've tried to act like that we were some kind of a nation, basically, that didn't believe in God. I'm here to remind you today that 102 people didn't get in that tiny Mayflower. They weren't at sea 65 days because they wanted to come here with their favorite copy of the Koran. They came here believing that there was a God that created the heavens and the earth, that the constellations, the galaxies, the stars run in a proper rotation, because they knew one thing, that the God of the universe was the God that had given us our inalienable rights. Amen. I'm glad for that, aren't you? We've had a change. We've had an attack upon our Savior tonight. Did you ever think who He is? I'm glad tonight that He's a virgin-born Son of God. Lived a vicarious life. Went to the grave, arose so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. That ought to make Baptists want to shout just a little bit. You know, I'm kind of concerned that maybe we've kind of lost our shout a little bit. We have a little bit. Seems like where I go, Brother Steve Wagers, up in Campbellville, Kentucky, said in a lot of the churches, if the Holy Ghost showed up, they'd want to give Him a visitor card. Boy, I tell you what, I enjoyed the good singing of the ladies and the wonderful ladies here singing tonight. We need a breath of heaven. We need a touch of God tonight. There ought to be something in us, something on us, that lets us know that we've passed from death unto life, that we have the assurance that we've been born again. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, there's an attack even upon our Scriptures today. People trying to invalidate them. Let me tell you something. These Bibles do not give just a thought process. I'm glad that we have the Word of God preserved, inspired for us. Aren't you glad for that tonight? I'm not going on what somebody might think about it. Oh, listen here. We're seeing this cultural change, and it's gone like it was in the Garden of Eden when Satan said, "Hath God said?" We've gone from absolutes in the Ten Commandments. We've tried to make them 10 suggestions. We've tried to go to some kind of moral relativism, secular humanism, that says that whatever you think about it is okay. My dad had an old-fashioned belief. And I share this with people wherever I go. My dad died in 1971. I love my dad, love my mother. We were just poor people. But I love my dad. Not a day goes by that I don't think about him. He had an old-fashioned belief. You know what he got to believe in? He thought folks ought to get married and then live together. Extreme stuff like that. And he told us things like this. He said, that television is going to ruin you folks. Now, I'm not here preaching against TV. I'm just saying, hear what my dad said. He said, they're going to bring in things you don't want to see. Oh, has it ever happened today? We've gone from a Norman Rockwell type society to a Hugh Hefner society. We've gone to a permissible society. Everything is okay except bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't want to do that, though. That might be a violation of church and state, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution. And if we don't have the acknowledgement of God, we don't have a republic. Amen? If you can't get up tonight and say how sweet he is to you, you don't live in a free world. When people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is democracy. We ought to have people every once in a while get up and brag on him. Do you ever like to do that every once in a while? I've had people tell me, they say, "Oh, but Brother Andrew, we're shy. It's just hard for me to be vocal in public." They say I'm reticent, kind of timid. And I understand all that. Part of my nature. They say, "Why, we just couldn't be outgoing. We just couldn't get up and cry." And I say, "Well, now wait. Somebody was with you at the ball game not long ago." I'm not jumping on anybody. They said you about squeezed the hot dog out of the bun. Oh, listen here. There will come a day. There'll come a day, Brother Bob, when we'll bow at his feet. We'll say, "Worthy is the King of Kings. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. Oh, listen here. We better be getting practice down here. Are you getting kind of practiced up? Amen. Are you getting practiced? Oh, listen here. There's an attack. Then there's an attack upon our churches. Not only upon our Christ and upon our culture. There's an attack upon the church. A lot of people are trying to attack the church. I've told Brother Bowman this, and I'll tell you this. I happen to be Independent Baptist, but I'm not mad about it. I'm not wanting to be ugly or bracy. I'm not interested in what kind of shirt somebody wears or the color. I'm not interested in whether it's 2% milk if you drink or if you don't drink any. That's your business. I'm here to tell you the greatest story that's ever been told. That one went to Calvary, took my place there, was numbered with transgressors, is soon coming again, and that by faith in Him and Him alone, we can have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. That's my message tonight. I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where there's bread. And you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. You share it with somebody. Amen. Amen. You've got to share the gospel. You've got to tell others what He did for you. Do you remember what He did for you? Oh, yeah, there's something happened to me one time as a 14-year-old boy. I didn't know how to be saved. I really didn't. I was expecting maybe some kind of ostentatious kind of display, but it came to me real quickly that I needed to trust Christ by faith. And to the best of my ability, it was not what I said. It was just simply I said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and God, for Christ's sake, forgave me of my sins." Amen. Oh, listen here. Make me want to preach just a little bit. Amen and amen. Do you ever get excited? I'm trying to help people get excited. I go to a lot of places when people are down and out. They got the mully grumps. It's not here, I'm sure, but a lot of places where I go, melancholy has set in. And they just, it's hard to smile. It's hard to... listen here. Henry Ford said, "If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right either way." You can make a difference. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need a can-do attitude today. Amen? Somebody said, "Well, should I be involved in the political business?" Yes, sir. The late Senator Mark Hatfield said, "For the Christian man to reason that God does not want him involved in politics because it's too dirty is as insensitive as a Christian doctor refusing to go to an epidemic because there are too many germs there." Wow. I'm repeating this, Brother Cole. Let me ask you again tonight, what would happen if you called your doctor and you said, "Hey, Doc, I've got something. I feel horrible. I can't even see straight." And he'd say, "Well, don't come to my office. Tell me about it on the phone." And you say, "Doc, could you look at my throat?" And he'd say, "Maybe with a periscope." Yeah. You'd say, "Well, Doc, I'm sick." He said, "That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want those germs. But here tonight, folks, we ought to not allow the wicked to continue to elect the wicked. The Bible said in the book of Exodus, chapter 18 and verse 21, He said, "You look you out able men, men of truth too, men that hate covetous, and fourthly, those that fear God." We need to put those kind of people into positions. Amen? Oh, there's an attack going on. But I'm glad I'm part of it. Somebody said, "Have you?" I asked a lady I got to carry it on not long ago, Brother Ken. I was in that gangway, or what do they call it? This lady come to find out that she had relatives back in Muncie where we live. And I was just having fun. I like to have fun. And she finally looked at me and she said, "Are you taking drugs?" But you know, listen, a merry heart doeth good, doesn't it? Like a medicine. Amen. We ought to have we've heard the joyful sound that Jesus saved. Spread the tidings all around. Amen. Oh, I want to be encouraged tonight, and I want to encourage you. I'm not here to discourage you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you that there's hope in Christ. We've got 8 million children living in homes where there's no dad. Boys out in Hollywood fighting. One said, "My dad can whip your dad." He said, "What do you mean your dad can whip my dad?" He said, "Your dad is my dad." Isn't that a sad state of affairs? Unfortunately, but true. One old boy said he went to the doctor. The doctor told him, said, "I'll have you walking within 30 days. He said he was right. He said, "I had to sell my car to pay for the bill." Somewhere in one of those home doctors, the doctor told him, said, "I want you to know," said, "that $50 check you sent me came back." He said, "So did the arthritis." Oh, the attack. But you know, I'm glad. You know, the church has always done some of its finest work under persecution. When they were persecuted, they were scattered abroad. They started going to Judea and Samaria, went into the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, let me. This is not the first time we've faced adversity. This is not the first time. I know we may have somebody that's out of his skull in North Korea. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I know one thing. The God of the universe has never forsaken His people, and He'll never do it. Amen? I'm not going down, I'm going up. I'm looking for that blessed hope. And that hope's not just some fantasy. It's not Gilligan's Island. That hope is certainty. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior who gave Himself for us. Well, I sure appreciate those amens. I take a little extra money along with me in certain places. I've been known to get in the crowd and give a $2 bill to people who say amen. Pastor said it's the most spiritual service he's had in a long time. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something here today. The Bible said, listen here, I want to go on. I've only got just a few minutes because I want to be respectful of you. See, there's other things we cannot escape. First of all, we cannot escape the fact that if you're not saved, you're not going to be where the redeemed of the ages will be. See, the great white throne judgment is awaiting for you. But I want to talk to Christians just for a moment. Brother Clarence Sexton gave me this at Baptist Temple in Knoxville. He said, "I know there are three things. One," he said, "I know I'm saved. Two, I know I'm going to die. But thirdly, there awaits for me the judgment seat." You know what, folks? I'm a slow learner. I told my wife that. She agreed with me. I am. I believe I'm a slow learner. It was a long time before I realized that when I head out of this place, that I've still got the judgment seat in front of me. A lot of people don't know that. You see, we're not going there for salvation, but we're going there for rewards. Now, I heard Brother Ricky Gravely. You know probably Brother Gravely. great preacher, I think, and gave a great message on this, Brother Ken. Maybe you can take it and put some meat on it. I can't preach it. I'm not smart enough to. But he talked about the crowns. He talked about the crown that Christ wore on the cross, the crown of misery. He talked about the crown that Christ is wearing now, Brother Cole, the crown of intercession, the crown of majesty. But then he's going to wear many crowns. Wait just a minute, Andrew. How's he going to have many crowns? One here, one there. And here's what Brother Gravely said. Do you suppose that in the heavenly estate, the heavenly habitation, that it might be announced once day, that stand as the King comes forth to wear the crown of Brother Ken Bowman? What about wearing the crown of Andrew Phipps? What about wearing the crown of Joe Smith? Wearing the crown of Brother Hall? How will that be? I cannot tell you with specificity that I know. I do not know the mind of God, nor have I been His counselor. But I know one thing. He said He would wear many crowns. Now there will come a time when we will be there. And you know what I think is going to happen? I'm doing a little teaching right here. I believe that many of us may stand there and wipe tears away. But you will say, "Oh, listen, I'm with the Lord." But when we see what we could have done and didn't do, it may bring tears of regret. I was in Salt Lake City, Utah. I saw a sign at Bible Baptist Church. The Lord's allowed us to have a pretty good speaking schedule. And I'm not bragging. But I saw a sign there and it said, "Why emphasize the things you cannot keep rather than focus on the things you cannot lose?" See, one of these days, my age has slipped up on me. I told Miss Renee today where I had a good meal and all. I said, "It doesn't seem possible that I ought to be..." I said, "It doesn't seem possible. It seems like, Miss Renee, that I ought to be much younger." But time has a way. It's faster than a weaver's shuttle. It's like a vapor. It's like a flower. You have to make the very most of it. And then sometimes, he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Man will go to his long home one of these days, from whence no traveler returns. I ask a question. See, we cannot escape the fact that we'll not live here forever. What are we going to do with our life? I really get to wondering sometimes. Have we actually visualized this? Do we internalize it? Miss Brenda, do we get to the point where we can actually know that something is of greater value than this earthly temporal thing that we're in? I believe it was Macaulay that said this. I want you to get it. And I'll soon be through. He said, "Those who take no pride in the noble achievements of remote ancestors will never do anything worthy to be remembered by remote descendants." How will people remember you? What kind of obituary are you going to have? Will it take more than a paragraph? What about that dot on the dash, or the dash on the tombstone? What will it signify? We've got people in our area. I've got relatives. They don't believe much in doing much of anything. They don't believe in ever doing today what you can put off till tomorrow. But I'm telling you, we have no promise of tomorrow. We ought to make the most of the day. There are certain things from which we cannot escape. We cannot escape the judgment seat if we're saved. I wish I had the ability. I wish I were an orator. I wish I had the ability of elocution to be able to say with some degree that you'd understand without any mental reservation what I'm trying to say. I'm simply saying this. we better focus on the things that are important. Set your affections on things above. Paul there in the prison, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, Job said, I know he liveth. That he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my body worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. And I want to close tonight on this one right here. You might like this one, I do. There's another thing we can't escape from, and I don't want to stop on a negative. We cannot escape the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that give us some hope tonight? An old preacher told me something riding on the back sides of Arkansas. He said, in every message, it's all right to have a little heat. But secondly, he said, give them some help. He said, a little humor won't hurt and always end up on some hope. Pretty good advice, I thought. I'm here to tell you, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be what? If, man. Oh, let me tell you, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I wish you could sing a verse of it. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stains. I'm not going to heaven because somebody's heard my voice on the radio for 42 years or seen my face on the television. I'm going to go by one way and one way only. I'm going by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I feel like somebody ought to say amen. If somebody should ask me, how did you make it? Quickly, I'll say it. I came by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. There are certain things you cannot escape from. Would you stand with me tonight? Brother Bowman is here tonight. Maybe everybody that's here, real quickly, bow your head just for a moment. Everybody, as Brother Bowman looks out, and he knows everybody here, I'm sure. How many tonight can say with full assurance, to the best of my ability, I know that I'm saved? Would you put a hand up real high and even wave it a little bit? Is that all right? Amen. Is there one tonight that would say, Brother Bowman, I've been kind of dealing with my thought processes, and I'm not sure whether or not that I'm a Christian or not. Is there one like that tonight that you'll just slip up a hand? Say, I'm not 100% sure. Is there one like that? Is there somebody in our building that says, I may have a lost loved one? Grandson.